A U.S. lawmaker is taking aim at the game industry for replacing jobs with generative AI. Plus, an indie developer withdraws their Game Awards nomination because they don't actually qualify. Tonight is November 23rd, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
That ending never gets old. I miss him. I hope he's doing okay. I know he doesn't listen anymore, but I hope he's doing okay. If you're out there, I hope you're doing okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to And I Hope You're Doing Okay edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history and podcasting's history, I guess. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here, thank you so much. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us, interact with the show directly, and I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. But we are a podcast, so I understand that you may not be able to be here on Sunday nights. Totally fine. We do have a Discord server you can participate with during the week, vognetwork.com/discord. You can talk back about things we talked about on previous episodes, put in things that you may want to have covered on the next episode that you can then hear on the podcast, and generally participate with the show that way. We will not be on the air in 2 weeks. I will be not available that Sunday night, but we will be back for the rest of December. We will be here next week after the Thanksgiving holiday here in the U.S., and we will be here in between the Christmas and New Year's holiday. So we are still going to be here. So, but I won't be here in 2 weeks. Now, I do want to say tonight is November 23rd, 2025, and there are some big debuts that happened in the past on this date. In television, one of my favorite shows, Doctor Who, debuted on this day in 1963 over on the BBC. But even in video games, today was the launch date, the release date of World of Warcraft in 2004. So we can, there were a lot of great things that came in to our pop culture lives, let's say, on this date. But also there are some farewells, and I am going to start, and I have no clue what I'm going to say here. But here on 2025, right after this, the best headliner that a podcaster could want as being an opening act like I am, Orange Lounge Radio, the Guinness Book of World Records record holder for longest English language podcast. That's what Guinness says. So they the 23 and a half years tonight is the final episode, recording right after this show of Orange Zone Radio with Rob, Jamie, and Matt. And I actually I was not here on episode one. I was not Dark Tootsie in a chat. I actually found them first when they were doing Live 365. And I like listened to one, but like I was not into DDR. I was into Bimani. I had Bimani stuff already at that time, and about we're talking like 2002, 2003. But then it was when podcasting showed up, and I'm like, I don't podcast. I don't have an iPod. Then I got an iPod, which they now call the iPod Classic, the one with the little click wheel. Anyway. Then I looked for podcasts, and that's when I found the Orange Lounge Radio, the to-go edition. And then I showed up live sometimes, and I was in the chat room, and they're like, who's, they weren't like, who's this guy? But it was, I was just yet another name on the chat room. And then when my podcasting started in earnest in 2005, in summer of 2005, I was working with a station called All Games Radio with Scott Rubin, who was one of the co-founders of the original G4 Television Network, and before then the All Games Network back in the 90s. And we were looking for, he wanted to make a radio station of podcasts. And Orange Lounge Radio was one of the first ones I thought of. And they're like, you know, we'll think about it. Then Live365's like, hey, we would like more money from you. And OLR's like, hey, Bobby, is that offer still open? And we're like, yes. So we moved they moved their show over to All Games. I was already on Sunday nights at 8. They were always Sunday nights at 9. I did that because I wanted to go listen to OLR when I was done. Even though they were on a different station, I would wrap up on All Games and head on over and sit in OLR's chat room. So that started kind of our relationship, and we've basically been together ever since. And when things took a turn, like they do when, you know, management changes and personnel changes and vision changes, we decided to stick together, and we formed Voice of Geeks Network in 2012. So we're talking like 13 years ago. VOG Network was created. And if you look at our website, you know, yes, that's a 2012 website, and it has not been updated. So it's been, you know, it's been updated some, but it's still, it's not mobile friendly. I know, can't log into it anymore. We had to shut that down, cause, our web host was going to shut us down if we didn't. So and then we got some of our other friends on. Pod Culture came on, Anime Jam Session came on. We had a pretty good network of podcasts for a while. And that was really with Rob. Rob and I went in together to create the business here, because Voice of Geeks Network is actually like a Georgia-based LLC. Rob and I pay taxes on it. We have to fill out documentation every year for the IRS and everything. So it's not just like a little hobby. It is, and that's what your bits and subs, if you do bits and subs on the channel, that's what it all goes to. We came close to breaking even in 2020. That's it. Every other time we've taken a loss. So trust me, we are not making millions on your bits and subs, I promise. But Rob and I have been, you know, putting in monetary stuff from our day jobs, because we both enjoy our day jobs, to help fund this, so we're not going under and we're not in trouble. This is not a pledge drive, but, you know, just know that Rob and also the crew of OLR have been very supportive of helping me help the network stick around. And OLR has been a great time. It's I always stick around and listen. My wonderful wife makes dinner, and she brings it up at about 9:30 Eastern time. So, and I'm sitting up here eating dinner, watching OLR and hanging out with y'all in chat, just like the rest of you. And it's always weird when like there is nothing, like when OLR is taking an off week, but it's going to be super weird for the foreseeable future, to always be cutting off at 9 Eastern. I will miss cheating off their paper, which I did very much often. I am the only non-OLR staffer that can read the secret area where they prepare all their stories with all the contributors. And if it's a slow news week, I absolutely do go in there. And I'm like, I will talk about that, too. I will talk about that, too. So I steal their work all the time. And now I have to be on my own. So, but, you know, they've always been very supportive, always been, you know, saying, you know, trying to promote everybody on the network, not trying to be like, we're the head honchos. And that's great, because I've been places where there's been one show, that they are the network, and everybody else is kind of like, oh, they're here too, but it's really about us. And that's not what we had here. And that's not what we have here. That is not what we should be having going forward. So I just appreciate everybody and also the OL Army, because this show does not end on time every time, and they're fine with it. Sometimes we don't end until 9:10, and they're here at 9 for OLR, and not one person has said yet. Somebody will say it tonight, just to spite me. Nobody has said, you really should stop. We want to get to the real stuff. Nobody has said that yet. Somebody's going to say it tonight if I go long. So, it's been amazing being part of this journey as I have been. And I know I always say, I'm the opening band. And, you know, I am to an extent. But, you know, they've made it very welcome. They've made it so easy to kind of joke about that because they've never made me feel like that. I make myself feel like that. We will be talking to Rob about OLR The Final at the end of the show. But I wanted to, you know, say some stuff here at the beginning. And Mike Def wants me to go longer just to get people mad. I, you know, not tonight. SJN Matt said that he will help in Discord. Nothing but sports ball game stories and pod culture. Just quit the Discord. You can actually help. Like, that's what the text channel is for. And I do actually pull from that sometimes when I need something. So you already help. You just do that. I just... OLR has this, like, they've got, like, a whole bunch of, like, bullet list stuff that they all kind of throw in, and I just, you know, cherry pick. I lurk and cherry pick in there. So we will talk more about that as we go on, but I want to have as much of a kind of a normal show as possible, because I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to be here, so I want you to come back next week to see me. That'd be great. All right. I also will not be here right after New Year's in January here on this show because I am pleased to finally announce, which I could have announced during OLR last week is when I learned of this, that I will be returning to Awesome Games Done Quick this January, benefiting the Prevent Cancer Foundation. The marathon is running, I believe, from the 4th through the 10th, I believe. Or it might be the 5th through 10th. I don't have the dates, but it's that first full week in January. I am once again, this is going to be my 11th time in mainline, the mainline GDQs, being behind the host desk. So you re-audition every time. If you eagle-eyed viewers would probably notice that I did not take any days off in January of 2025. So it's because I didn't get selected. So it's not like this is not a foregone conclusion. And so it's very much an honor to continually be selected. I want it to be one of the 29 hosts that will be reading donations and telling everybody why they should donate and what incentives they should donate for. I will know in a couple weeks what my game schedule is. I do not have any like special requests. None of the speed, you know, Froob, unfortunately, is not making it out. He's the only person we would kind of do like this mutual request thing for. But so I don't know what I'm going to be doing, and I don't know when I'm going to be doing it. And it could be in the middle of the night. Who knows? I don't know. We'll find out in a couple weeks, and you can find on my socials at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Blue Sky, and at BobbyBlackWolf on Instagram, and in our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord, when I have more information. But... I will be out there the entire week up in Pittsburgh, where I am convinced it is always snowy and there is always a foot of snow on the ground in Pittsburgh, because every time I've been in Pittsburgh, there has been snow on the ground. And so I just assume that's what it's like 365 days a year. Right now, there is a foot of snow on the ground in Pittsburgh, and you cannot tell me different. And that's going to be the case in a little bit over a month, when I'm going to be out there for a week. So be sure to look for that. It is benefiting Prevent Cancer Foundation. Feel free to donate during my time on the host, but when I am hosting. But I will say that if you mention me in the donation comment, I'll never see it. They're trying to clamp down on donations about the host, because the donation should be about the charity and the runner, and not the host. So they will actually weed out those, and I'll never see them. So make sure that if you do donate, and honestly, the shorter the message, the better, because we don't get that much time. And if you write a paragraph, I'm most likely not going to be able to read it, because I won't have the time to read it. So if you want to get your name read on the air on Games Done Quick, short, succinct, to the point messages that reference the current run or an open incentive, help us do our jobs. That'd be great. All right. So, look out for more information on that. Also, this was posted in our Discord, and I was excited and I was happy, and then I read about it. So, if you followed the Bobby Blackwell Cinematic Universe, which you may not have, and that's totally fine, you know that I consider my Nintendo Switch to basically be a Picross machine. Picross being nonograms is another term. Picross is the Nintendo branded version of nonograms. It's made by Jupiter Corporation. And it is basically the way I like to wind down at night. It's why I mostly play my Switch in handheld mode, because I'm playing Picross on it. And Jupiter Corporation has announced new versions of Picross. And I was super excited, because I actually really enjoyed a lot of these tie-ins that they've done in the past. So the first one is Capcom. So you can actually, like, you fill out, you basically use numbers and dots and stuff to create Capcom characters and Capcom things, like, you know, the Mega Man's 1-Up. You know, there's, like, background art going from a lot of things. Like, they actually, like, do acknowledge that Breath of Fire exists, for one thing. So, like, if you were like, does Capcom know that these game franchises exist? Yes, they do. They're in this. So you can, so there, it's going to be available, on, I believe this week. I think it's the 27th is when it's coming out, and, you can get it, but there's a problem. There's a huge problem here. Nintendo Life reports that, Jupiter has announced Picross S Capcom Classics Edition and another game I'll talk about in just a second. Both games featuring tons of pixel art puzzles for you to solve from various Capcom and properties from something else. But both of these titles, the one I'm showing about Capcom now and the one I'm about to talk about, are going to be $17.99, $18 each. Now, they've done these crossovers. So, like, there's a Namco collection and a Sega collection. They're $8. This is twice the price of every other Picross game, and they didn't really add much. They do add mouse control, so if you have the mouse on Nintendo Switch 2. And then they do have, like, a time attack mode, which is a new mode that has about, you know, 30 puzzles. But other than that, it's still, like, the same amount of puzzles that all of their previous versions have had for, like, $9. And so I'm like, huh, because usually these are day one purchases. And I was like, I'm going to buy both this and the one I'm about to tell you about. Maybe I'll only get one of them. So the other one is, maybe Capcom's not your thing, but is SNK your thing and Neo Geo your thing? So now it's the same game, same engine. All the things they added to Capcom are in this, except this has a bunch of SNK and Neo Geo games. And it's Capcom versus SNK Picross. But for both, you're going to be paying 18 times 2. What is that? $36 for both. And I get inflation, but there's no tariffs on this. It's digital only. And I wonder what it was that made them say, hey, we should charge double the price. I mean, are the Capcom and SNK license that expensive, that much more expensive than Namco and Sega, which they've already released? It's, you know, doing the same thing. As Jeremy Matt says, it's the Bobby tariff. I guess that's what it is. I guess. But they do go on sale pretty couple times a year, I believe. A lot of the Picross games go on sale, so you can wait. What I'm probably going to do is I probably will get one at full price because I do like what they do. And I, you know, they deserve money. You know, they deserve to get paid for what they do. But I'll probably get the Capcom one at the beginning. And then I will get the SNK one maybe on a sale because I don't have as much memories of SNK and Neo Geo stuff because I didn't have those games as a kid. And I did have Capcom games as a kid. So they'll probably do a sale around the spring, according to SSJ and Matt, and probably. Like, I've seen it a couple times. And, you know, maybe I'll pick up one then. So, Picross. I love Picross. I love Nonogram puzzles, and I love the way Jupiter does their stuff. I'm just not loving the price right now. And it makes me sad. One of the other things that makes me sad right now is the use of generative AI in development. I do believe that there are good uses of generative AI, which is the non-deterministic AI. These are your large language models and other things that are non-deterministic that use kind of that same model. So like ChatGPT and Gemini and all that stuff, which, by the way, Gemini is now enabled in everybody's Gmail. And if you turn Gemini off, which you can do, it literally takes away features that you've had for years because they migrated them to be in Gemini. So like if you liked having, oh, spell checking, that's gone. You have to have Gemini to have spell check, but your browser's spell check will still work. Or if you used like the important, like where it like determined important and not important, they've changed that to work in Gemini now too. So you lose that. You lose if you had like the promotions and the socials folder, like that it would automatically sort things into. That's gone. That's locked behind Gemini. And you either, if you want those, you're going to have to let it like scan all your stuff and train itself on your data. There's good uses of it, and then there's not good uses of it. And thankfully, by the way, for Gmail, because I did wonder this, the spam folder is not Gemini. Because I was worried they were going to like, no, now we're going to have Gemini determine if this is spam. And since you turned it off, now you're going to get all the emails. No. It was still using the spam folder like we've had for 20 years. They haven't migrated that to Gemini yet, but I can see them saying, why don't we have Gemini look to see if it's spam instead of using the old school spam filters that have been working fine for 20 years? Anyway, but in terms of like the art of a lot of what we do and the creativity that we have as humans, and that I'm not as much of a fan of, and I cannot wait for the AI bubble to burst, just like the dot-com bubble burst. Now, when the bubble burst, did the dot-coms go away? No. Dot-coms basically stabilized, and that's what's going to happen with generative AI as well, is the bubble's going to burst, and it's going to stabilize, and it's going to be around, but it's going to look different than when we had websites that had like millions of dollars in venture capital funding in the late 90s selling ice. Like actual like water ice, not any other type of ice that you may be thinking of in here in America, but like selling ice on the internet. We're currently in the selling ice on the internet phase of the AI bubble, and then it's going to normalize. So PC Mag reports that the use of AI in the latest Call of Duty has prompted a U.S. lawmaker to call for regulations to prevent artificial intelligence from taking jobs away from human workers. Representative Ro Khanna, who is a Democrat from California, represents a large swath of Silicon Valley, took aim at Call of Duty Black Ops 7 after buyers noticed the popular shooter contains a significant amount of AI-generated icons, posters, and achievements. Gamers are criticizing it as filled with AI slop. On Friday, Khanna tweeted, quote, "We need regulations that prevent companies from using AI to eliminate jobs to extract greater profits. Artists at these companies need to have a say in how AI is deployed. They should share in the profits, and there should be a tax on mass displacement," unquote. Call of Duty studio Activision Blizzard, which Microsoft owns, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. However, a growing number of U.S. lawmakers are looking to curb AI's impact on human jobs. Earlier this month, two U.S. senators introduced legislation to require U.S. companies to report AI-related job losses to the federal government in an effort to track the technology's impact on employment. On the other hand, gaming companies view AI as a way to streamline game development. David Friedberg, co-host the All In Business podcast, argued that AI could unlock new, higher-paying jobs, saying, quote, "By trying to prevent organizational evolution due to technology, you are limiting technology's ability to create more value for workers," unquote. Essentially, the argument here is the same one they made, and it worked for, I always go back to woodworking, the CNC machine. The CNC machine was invented in the 1940s, 1950s. Now, before the CNC machine, woodworking was a career. If I ask somebody, what do you think of woodworking right now? They say, oh, that's a neat hobby. Because today, in 2025, woodworking is a hobby. It is something you do in the shed out back after you're done with your real job. And you make cool things, and maybe you sell some on Etsy. Or something, but it's a hobby. It is not your career. It is not a generational career. You don't have your sons apprenticing in woodworking, and then they come up, and then they, when you retire because you had a very successful, very lucrative woodworking career, you don't have that anymore. What happened is the CNC machine absolutely did create new jobs, higher paying jobs. Instead of paying 20 woodworkers, they now created two high-paying jobs to oversee and program the CNC machine to do what those 20 workers did. Now, those two people made a lot more money than any one of the workers that used to have the job, but now we've got, and there's no guarantee that those two came from the 20 because they may not have the skills and they may not be able to be upskilled to get to that point to oversee the robots. So that is what David Friedberg is trying to argue for, is like, yeah, a lot of these low-paying jobs, especially in the game industry, they're low-paying, these artists and stuff, they're going to go away, but we're going to create new jobs of people who direct the AI to do what they did, and that person who directs the AI is going to make a whole lot money, more money, than the people who did the art. That's the argument that is being made. So, Kana did respond, quote, "No one is saying that AI may not help with entrepreneurs or small business or medicine, but we cannot allow it to further the income divide and regional divide that is tearing this country apart. There is a way to make sure AI benefits society without repeating the mistakes of unfettered globalization," and unquote. So basically saying, like, look, like the CNC machine, like, we totally destroyed the working class when robots started taking over factories and automation. Let's not make the same mistake twice. And the business leaders are like, actually, that wasn't a mistake. It wasn't a mistake. So Friedberg replied, quote, "As soon as the government creates taxes on automation, it shackles workers to old jobs," unquote. It doesn't shackle them to old jobs. It allows them to keep their existing jobs. Because I know that once the thing that I do in software development gets taken over by generative AI, I'm out. Because unfortunately, I have tried to be, you know, on the architect side of things. And it's never worked well. The only time I've ever gotten negative reviews at work is when I was not a developer, but an architect. And what that means is what they're saying is that instead of being a software developer, you'll have no more software developers. You will have software architects, and the robot does the code. Generative AI does the code. That is the future. And architects do absolutely get paid more money than developers do. And I won't be able to, I'm not that great as an architect. I am the woodworker, not the designer. I build what the designer tells me to, which is going to be the function of generative AI. So, yeah, I would like to be shackled to that job because I enjoy that job. I mean, obviously not at that company, but I would like to be shackled at that, you know, doing that thing, being paid what I am paid, because I do believe I am paid fairly for what I am doing right now. But, you know, as generative AI gets better, my job will no longer exist, just like woodworkers no longer exist at large companies. Now, yes, there is handcrafted furniture, but you notice they say handcrafted furniture, and it costs a lot more. And people don't want to pay that much more for a table. Why should they pay that much for a table that's handcrafted when the table that was made by the CNC machine and mass-produced and is at Target or Walmart is a lot cheaper? As Sharnamat says, I feel like at some point the government has to get involved about AI taking jobs. I don't know what they can do to stop it other than mandating that they have to have a percentage of the workforce be human-ran. I don't know what they can do. The history of the CNC machine taking out automation, that's why we don't have factories anymore here. Because we do have factories here, but it's all automated. Because they don't want to pay Americans what they're worth to do that work. But you got to realize that if you are investing in a company and actually putting financial risk into the company, which unfortunately not many workers are, because that's the way that this is structured out, you really want to pay less to humans. Because you want the profit margin, which is like the space between how much you are paying out and how much you are bringing in, you want that to be as big as possible. And either you bring in more money or you pay out less money. And the best way to do that is to pay less people, because wages and all the overhead of actually employing human beings, that costs a lot of money. And as Sharon Matt says, I'm sure there are AI lobbyists already in Washington. Yes, I'm trying not to get into the politics side. So I'm asking more of a question of, did the provision go through that does not allow states to regulate AI? And I believe that was part of either reopening the government or the Big Beautiful Bill. There was something that was going around where they wanted to make it illegal for states to regulate AI in their state for 10 years. I don't know if that went through or not. I don't want to debate anything about what's going on in Washington right now. But that is something that they were trying to say, is that, you know, AI should not be regulated for 10 years. And that's what the lobbyists want, because they need to figure out what the technology can do. And if there's guardrails on it from the government, then they feel like you're stifling innovation. And they will just go to another country that does not stifle the innovation. So in the meantime, Call of Duty Black Ops 7 has received an overwhelmingly negative response based on user reviews on Metacritic. Yeah, I don't need to get further in that. We'll see how, I cannot wait for the bubble to burst so we can normalize this and figure out what we can actually use it for. The next story I want to talk about, this is kind of an interesting one. I do not know the lore behind this, because apparently there's lore. There's lots of lore. And, you know, one of the things that you find a lot in like indie games and stuff like that is the mystery. And there's a lot of mystery going around, manufactured, not manufactured, anything like that. So this is a very interesting story that I learned based on the mainstream coverage. And then I don't know as much of the lore underneath, but there's a mystery brewing, and people have think they figured out the mystery, but nobody's talking. So the Game Awards, the nominations came out. I don't actually have all the nominations on the story. I'm not going to read them. I will unfortunately not be watching, just because I'm, you know, not going to be able to watch it. So we're not co-streaming it here at VOG or anything like that. But GamesIndustry.biz reports that Vetinad, the force behind Megabonk, two things, for whatever reason, I have not heard of either of those two. I've never heard of that developer. I've never heard of the game. It's very popular. It's like sold like millions of copies on Steam. So it's not a bad game. Apparently it's a 3D Vampire Survivors clone. Not clone, but a 3D Vampire Survivors-esque game. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to say clone, because it's better than that. But anyway, Vetinad, the force behind Megabonk, has withdrawn from consideration as best debut indie game at next month's The Game Awards. Within hours of the Game Awards 2025 revealing its nominees, with Sandfall Interactive's Clair Obscur Expedition 33 sweeping 10 categories, including Game of the Year, Vetinad posted a brief statement to social media confirming that while he was grateful for the nominated, Megabonk was not his first game and therefore not eligible for consideration. The developer wrote on social media, quote, I'm withdrawing from the Game Awards. It is an honor, with a U, and a dream for Megabonk to be nominated for the Game Awards, but unfortunately, I don't think it qualifies for the category debut indie game. I've made games in the past under different studio names, so Megabonk is not my debut game, unquote. In a follow-up, said, quote, I really appreciate the nomination, support, and votes, but it doesn't feel right in this category. You should vote for another one of the amazing debut titles. They're all amazing games, unquote. And it was signed John Megabonk. So shortly thereafter, Jeff Keighley did confirm that the developer had, quote, reached out to clarify that he is an established solo developer who had been presenting himself as a new creator under the name Vetinad. We're grateful for his honesty. As a result, Megabonk will be removed from the category. He'll share more about his story when he's ready, but we respect that he did not want to take recognition away from other debut teams, even though the game itself is outstanding, unquote. The mystery is then who is Vetinad, which is really hard to say. And so it is Vedinad. Better way to look at it is if you flip it around, it's Danny Dev, Danidev, which is the name of a solo indie developer who created several games, was actually very popular on YouTube, and went completely silent like 3 years ago. There is no confirmation that the two are the same. There was an article, I believe it was, was it Eurogamer, that did kind of like an interview with them and, you know, asked them a bunch of questions. And then at the very end was like, so are you Danny Dev? And they have not received a response since. I don't know if that's going to be, if that's the smoking gun or not, but it is. And a lot of people in chat are like, classy move, classy move. Here's the thing, though, is that it's about a debut studio, and this is the first title from a studio. It's not their first game. Like, if you think that the people who made Clair Obscur Expedition 33 had never made a game before, you'd be lying, because they all worked at Ubisoft, and they made games for Ubisoft, and then they made their own studio, but they're all, like, veterans of the gaming industry. But when I can understand that also when it's a solo developer, you're like, I just changed my name, because apparently what I have pieced together in the very little bit I've digging down in the rabbit hole is that the fans were really, really got to him. He did not handle the fame of his previous games all that well. There was a game he was working on that everybody demanded updates. And I don't know. I didn't dig enough. Like, was it a Kickstarter? Or did people actually kickstart it with money? Or is he just doing it and giving updates? I don't know. But apparently he basically shut down because for his mental health. And this is probably a way for him to say, I still want to make games, but I just don't want the attention. Granted, if he did that, why would you just take your name and make it backwards? But it's not necessarily about wanting to stay anonymous, because Balatro's creator, who goes by Local Funk, nobody knows who he is either. But he totally had Game Awards and didn't pull out of the Game Awards. I believe Ben Starr actually accepted on his behalf. Other people accepted on his behalf. I think like the publisher also went up and accepted on his behalf. And I do believe it was actually said that Local Thunk was actually there in the audience. He was in the building, but nobody knew. Like, he was kind of in, like, the fan section. Like, he got a ticket. Like, you can just, you know. And so he was sitting in the fan section. So he was actually there. He got to see all the love, but he didn't want any of the attention. It is up to the individual, But it's about a debut studio, and if this individual made a new studio, it is their best debut indie game. So, Redertainment says, meanwhile, Fountains of Wayne was willing to take the nomination for Best New Artist, despite them putting out music for more than a decade. And, yeah, we can get into the semantics of, you know, new artist and what that actually means, because, like, you know, then you could say, well, they played in marching band all together in high school, and so they're not new artists. They were artists together before, and then they made their own thing. And you could make a lot of those arguments. Like, maybe Best New Artist is Best New Artist that finally got played on the radio, is maybe, like, some of their criteria. I think, like, probably that Best New Artist, it was probably like Best New Artist to the Billboard chart, because none of the things they made before were good enough to be to be on the Billboard chart. And now that there are, they're a new artist now. I don't know. Sterlock said, a lot of people are just not equipped to handle fame. Look what happened with Flappy Bird. And we don't actually know what everything that happened with Flappy Bird, but I believe, like, there was a little bit of extortion going on because of the government, because he was from, what, it was Vietnam. And the success of Flappy Bird brought a little bit of unwanted attention, not just fame from fans, which Danny Dev, apparently it was just fans were hounding him for updates on the game that he was making. But Flappy Bird, it was people wanting a cut of the money and threatening to get that cut of the money. So that's why he's like, I'm done. Like, I'm cutting it off. And the trademark expired, and so now some crypto bro owns Flappy Bird, and they're going to do stuff with it. And Questbuster says, Bellatro's creator essentially won the lottery, and not everyone wants to deal with that kind of baggage. Kudos for standing up for yourself on that. And, you know, good on Jeff for doing that. Now, you know, there are other indie game categories, and if Megabonk truly is a really good game, maybe he could have been like, you know what, we'll just move you to Best Indie Game. And you can have your nomination there. You wouldn't be the best debut, but you would be the best indie game, which I believe Clair Obscur is nominated for both debut and best indie. I believe it's a good game. You know, the definition of indie studio is kind of weird at that point, because Clair Obscur absolutely looks like a AAA game. But it's not. It is totally an indie game. So I haven't looked at the other nominees. I know it's kind of like not many people were shocked. I do believe that Ben Starr has been nominated for everything, which is great. Actually, I think, like, Clair Obscur is like three of the five voice actor nominees are all from Clair Obscur. So, yeah. SJR Matt says Stephen King was under a pen name early on when he wrote some of his early books, like Running Man and The Long Walk. That was Richard Bachman. Pen names are a thing. And have been for a while, but the Danny Dev situation, if vetted Nad, it's Danny Dev backwards, but if that is Danny Dev, then it's more than just I want to, you know, publish books and not have people know who I am and still write my main stuff. This is I don't want to be that person anymore. And in fact, I believe, like, at one point the YouTube channel for vetted Nad actually said, huge respects for Danny Dev, RIP in peace, or something like that, basically saying, oh, he's dead. And that could be read as, I am shedding that persona. That persona is gone. This is my new persona. So normally we do take a music break. We're not going to tonight, but the music breaks will return. And then probably starting next week, we'll have more time to take calls from the Discord green room, which we're not going to do tonight. That is not something we will be doing here on the show tonight, but it is an option. You join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/Discord. There is a green room voice chat channel. You can join that, and then I'll pull you into another channel and we can chat, but we're not going to do that tonight. But coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/vognetwork, is the final episode of Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games. They talked about games for much, much longer than I do. But tonight, it's a special episode. It is the final episode after 23 and a half years on the air. It has been recognized by the Guinness Book of Gamer World Records, and it's going to be a very happy and sad night. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you?
I'm all right. Heard any good jokes lately?
Yeah. So no. I haven't. I haven't taken an improv class yet. I can't do that yet.
we all have a little bit of a comic in us. No. Obviously, you know, it's of course it's sad, but it's also let's celebrate. You know, we made it further. You know, than at OLR, we've made it further than anybody else.
Yep.
You know, and that's Guinness certified. I know they said it was another show in Spain, but that show took an entire year off. But that's neither, and they take every summer off too. But that's neither here or there.
Right.
We have done it longer than anybody on the internet, at least. You know, we've done it longer than anybody in the gaming space, and I think it's a great thing to celebrate. And you know, the show's gone through changes before. We, you know, originally were DDR exclusive. We were on Live 365. You kind of talked about how it went over to All Games for a little while. Then it was at VOG Network. It became a podcast. Somewhere along the line, it became talking about All Games, not the radio network, but literally all video games. It wasn't as much of a party atmosphere at the house. COVID took us away from being in person all the time. And then our live trajectory changed. So we were all a virtual show. You know, the show has gone through many transformations, and in some ways this is another one of those transformations. So you know, it's going to look a little different moving forward, but I hope the listeners and the folks out there at VOG will continue to support the network shows, not just yourself. Obviously, you've mentioned you're still going to be live most Sundays except when you're, you know, booked and blessed. But you know, gamebuoy.org, MMA Jam Session, British Invaders, you know, and whatever else may be in store, because you know, the thing about things ending is that new things can potentially come from that. And that's not me being coy, but just like, you know, it gives time to look at what those things might look like. So I know it's a big moment, but I like to choose to kind of look back and go, dang, we really did a lot over these 23 and a half years. Yeah. And that's incredible and something worth celebrating.
Yeah. And it's been an honor to be kind of here on the sidecar, the opening band, which I know y'all never like saying that, me saying that, but you know, just being here as part of that journey and getting to share just a little bit of it. It's been an honor.
Well, and you know, obviously you mentioned that we view you as our equal, not, you know, the opening act. Obviously, I mean, and I'd say all that about we've done it longer than anybody else. But Bobby, you're in a very, very small exclusive club of people who've done it this long. You're coming up on, well, you just hit 20 years, right? Because you started in 2005. So you just hit 20 years. There's you could probably count. There's got to be less than 10 in the game that have been going. And I want to say it's less than 5, to be quite honest. I'm not going to try to name them because I'll leave somebody out. But there's probably less than 5 that have been going 20 years at this point. So, you know, you're in an exclusive club as well. And to be able to do this for most of those years with you, I think has made us both stronger.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it.
Yeah. And nobody's dying. And you know, one thing that I said earlier is that Rob, you is still a co-owner of the network, got a vested interest in the network. So like nobody's going away. It's just, you know, things are, metamorphosizing. Is that a word? Probably not. I don't think so.
Well, for this, and to be clear, for this year, I am going away.
But it's November. People, it's the end of November.
It is. But people have asked me what's next. And my answer is rest.
Yeah.
Rest is next because it's been so badly needed for a while. And then in 2026, we can talk about, because I'm still figuring, I'm not hiding anything from me.
Yeah.
I might be hiding what other people are up to. I'm not hiding anything. I really do not know what I'm doing next year. And, you know, I'm going to take this rest period to try to figure that out and see how can I be a good individual contributor for VOG Network. And that doesn't mean the Rob Roberts show. That's not what I mean by individual contributor. But, you know, there's a lot of emerging, but it's been out there for a while, new media, new ways to get out there.
Yeah.
And I think if we talk about taking what we've built and really evolving it, that means how do we effectively leverage technology? TikTok. You know, that's a huge – when I say TikTok and you feel like, I hate TikTok, I mean YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, yeah. All of it in one bubble. How do we leverage the short-form vertical media to be that platform where everybody – every gamer and every geek really has a voice, right? How do we leverage that in what the future holds for VOG Network? And that's the challenge I want to take on, as how can I contribute that? And then that'll be on a schedule that works for me, where it's not necessarily going to be a set thing. Because if it was the Rob Roberts show, that means I'm just right back here doing it every, you know, such and such night at such and such time. And that's not what it is going to be for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and eventually, like, some things get stale. I've thought about, you know, with me, it's like, do I want to keep doing this format, or what do I want to do? But I'm not making any decisions this year. So, like, we can only handle one big shakeup, so I'm not shaking anything else. Like, I'm, you know. But
Sometimes, Bobby, people enjoy their comfort food. Yeah. Even if our grandparents, those of us lucky to have them, are, you know, old school, or, you know, whoever that grandparental figure is in your life, mm-hmm. even if they're old school and they have certain traditions, man, there's a spaghetti and meatballs. There's a certain dish that they make that nobody else can make the same. And, you know, Bobby, I don't think there's anything wrong with having that place where people can come have spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah. I'm the mac and cheese guy, so that it's the Kraft mac and cheese blue box. That's me.
Yes, perfect. Perfect analogy, because that's never going to change. I hope not.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: why did Half-Life 3 not manifest this week?
because it's fool me again, and why doesn't it manifest anytime these rumors are true? It's just they're not ready to talk about it yet. And we could say, well, maybe they're waiting for the Game Awards, or maybe they're waiting for next year. But at this point, why don't I think we really need to just take a step back. I know it goes against kind of what we do here with podcasting and teasing things and talking about a show, but I'm quitting. So what do I care? maybe we just need to take a step back from teasing these things we don't have yet and focus on these gigantic freaking backlogs that we do have. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe we won't have a Half-Life 3 on the new Steam Deck and the new Steam VR, but you know what? Mm-hmm. That new Luminous game, Luminous Arise, that's a fantastic VR game if you haven't played it yet. Yeah. Like, check that out. And Half-Life Alyx is probably in a lot of y'all's backlog. Maybe you didn't get around to it. There's a lot of backlog games to still be playing.
Yeah. So normally I would ask, like, what are you going to be talking about on OLR? But, like, it's going to be a different type of show. What are you going to be doing tonight? Yeah.
We will talk about a little bit of news, but for the most part, we're going to just kind of, you'll notice my atmosphere here is a little cozier tonight. The machines are off. Lights are dimming, you know, just kind of reflecting on what we've done here for the last 23 and a half years, looking forward to what the future may hold, you know, for some of those things. And really just also taking a look backwards and saying, my gosh, look at all of these things that have happened over the years that we've talked about. And what are the impacts they might have had on where we're at now, right? You know, we were here doing OLR when World of Warcraft launched. We were here doing OLR, I think, when Xbox Live launched, if not right after, right around the same time. So, you know, there's many things that have happened in gaming that we've been able to cover for 23 years. So we'll take a little bit of a look down memory lane. And we have one more classic game of the week. I think you all be very happy with the selection. We have, you know, other surprises, too. So stay tuned. I hope you will watch, listen. I hope you'll listen to the whole thing. Bumper to bumper.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, the final is coming up next. It's been a pleasure, Rob, and we'll see you in a minute, but then we'll also see you in 2026.
I was to say, this is weird. I just realized I don't have a reason to call in now in the future. And if I'm taking the rest of the year off, I guess we won't have these lovely little moments at the end of the show. So I look forward to continuing to call in as a caller once in a while or figuring out what collaboration looks like for us. So SJ1RMAT in chat says, call in as a listener. 100%. I am going to make good on my promise to not do that this year, but next year, who knows? Who knows?
Yep. Right after HEDQ, when I come back, you'll call in and be like, I hated your hosting.
No, I would never do that.
You wouldn't. All right. Orange Lounge Radio, the final is up next. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thank you, as always, Bobby Blackwolf, for uplifting our show. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. So that is it for me tonight. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us. Even if you're still eating leftovers, if you're here in the United States, we do have Thanksgiving. If you're not in the United States, it's just the last Sunday in November, and I hope that you're here as well. We'll still be talking about the gaming news, and you know, we'll keep the lights on. We'll keep being your comfort food. Please, would love it if you would join us and continue supporting as we go forward. Yeah, you can also find me on Blue Sky at BobbyBlackWolf.com, on Instagram at BobbyBlackWolf, and over in our Discord server, VogNetwork.com/Discord. When I do know anything about what I'm going to be doing at AGDQ, which could be in a couple weeks, it's probably not going to be next week, I will let you know, but I will be at Awesome Games Done Quick as a host and donation reader one more time, at least one more time, in January, benefiting the Prevent Cancer Foundation. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for some of you who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make this live show work without the help of the chatters who go above and beyond. Thank you so much for being here. This does help us keep the lights on, which we will hopefully still be keeping the lights on as time goes forward. Hopefully you will support all the new stuff that we're going to be doing, hopefully in 2026. So I do like to read these off, and we I got a hype train going on right now. Let's go ahead and I'll read out what we've gotten so far. SJR and Matt resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. Spazure followed. Thank you so much for the follow. Fantaz, that's a name I haven't heard in a while. Hi, Fantaz. Subscribe. Thank you so much. Dark Sakura gave out some gift subs. ZenMonkey11, congratulations. Stirlock, and Redertainment and Captain Spike from GameBuoy.org. Also, they got gift subs. Thank you so much. Big Red Pimp subscribed. Thank you so much. Saying whale, whale, whale. I don't know if that's well, well, well. There's a joke in there, I'm sure. Mike Deft resubscribed saying the OLR station is closing, but the VOG train keeps on running. Thank you so much for that. Orange Wright resubscribed said, here's for the last OLR and another Bobby Blackwolf, of course. Thank you so much for being here. Rin Marie resubscribed saying one last time into the breach. We also had, let's see here. Let me see what. Salvalis. Gifted a sub to Blaxican02. Congratulations, Blaxican. Loki resubscribed. Thank you so much for that. And Sean322 cheered 200 bits at the last minute. Hoip. So, yeah, believe the hype train is going on. I hope that hype train keeps on going even as I shut off the stream and OLR takes over the stream. So, hopefully we can keep that going. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and hit the button. Thank you so much for being here on this night, November 23rd, 2025. Orange Lounge Radio, the final, is up next. I'll see you there. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.